the Winfrey Hotel. We got John Parker Wilson, former Alabama quarterback, sitting in with us this morning. 6:19. Is this the most that you've talked before the 6:30 hour?
In a long time. Maybe since the last time I was in Tuscaloosa with you. Usually when I'm getting up this early, I'm usually going hunting. So usually sitting by myself, watching the sun come up, bow in hand. Not today.
Bow in hand or phone in hand? If you got service, a cell phone just is a must when you're hunting.
Got to. A little Candy Crush, something going on. Joe Deere's out in the field. You know, it get a little boring.
Yeah, get a little bland out there. It's 19 past the hour, visiting with John Parker Wilson this morning as we're bringing to you live from SEC Media Days. Yesterday on the podium, we had South Carolina, Mississippi State, Texas A&M, and Tennessee. And, of course, Steve Spurrier was quite, I wouldn't say outlandish. Coach. Yeah, the old ball coach had his own opinions yesterday. And, of course, the questions came out about what he said regarding Nick Saban and having the best recruiting classes and only winning two SEC championships. Does he have a point there, John Parker, or is that just kind of Steve being Steve?
I think it's Steve being Steve just stirring the pot. I mean, you know what? Sorry, I'm not sorry. We have got the best recruiting class. I mean, it's kind of like he's whining a little bit about it. I mean, we were able to win all these national championships, and at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. I mean, SEC championship obviously is huge, but just because we have the best recruiting class doesn't make up for anything. I mean, I don't know what he's trying to get at.
I think what he's trying to say is, you know, with all the talent that you amassed there, you should be a champion every single year, which
sure.
is not even, you know, Steve's better than that. We all know that you can't physically win it every single year.
And he's acting like he's getting middle school players from, you know, down the street. I mean, he's getting good players, too. Our players are just a little bit better. And we're winning more than anybody else, so I don't know, you know.
Yeah, I don't know how much better you can get.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I guess I see what he's saying. You could maybe have won more conference championships, but I'll take the success that we've had over the last 7 years, and I'll run with it. Let's see. Kevin Sumlin was up yesterday, and I want to get to some of his comments. Get your thoughts on Johnny Manziel a little bit later this morning as we get things going. But today, Steve Shaw's going to step up first, and he's going to be on at 9 o'clock. Steve Shaw, of course, the head official. We've known Steve for a number of years. Of course, he can't call our games because
right.
he's got an Alabama tie, but
mm-hmm.
he would come in and call our scrimmages before the season. And there's been a lot of rule changes thrown in the air. Of course, last year was the targeting rule, which they've implemented, and now they're having to pull back because it was just a dumb rule.
Right.
But this year they're contemplating putting an extra official to spot the ball down in and down out. From a quarterback's perspective, and a lot of the conversation in the offseason has been about Nick Saban losing a step. And if he's losing a step, he's been losing it to up-tempo offenses. What does an up-tempo offense do for a quarterback?
You know, I think earlier what I said about manipulating the defense, I think that's the biggest key. With a guy that can run and a guy that can throw, you know, taking the snaps, I think you can do so many different things. And it helps the quarterback out because, you know, you can run the speed sweep. The quarterback can run. The defensive end can't rush as good because they got to worry about their pass lanes and everything. But I think, you know, the ability to throw the ball exceptionally well increases that tenfold. I look at, like, Russell Wilson up in Seattle. He can run it really well, but he can throw it with the best of them. I think that's why they're so successful, is because he's not a one-dimensional like a Robert Griffin is. I think Nick Marshall, with the running ability, if they were able to throw the ball a little bit better, I think it could be that more powerful and effective.
And I think that's a common misconception, because we look at up-tempo offenses and we think of throwing the ball and airing it out. These up-tempo offenses are running the ball on the ground. They're controlling clock.
Right.
What does that do as far as a defensive perspective? Can you tell defense is wearing down when you're running that fast pace? Does an offense get into a rhythm?
Yes, totally. And when we would be practicing it, and this up-tempo offense, the offensive line has to sit in their stance, and they're out there. And during practice, you can run 10, 12, 15 plays, and the offensive line is just conditioned to stay in their stance. And, you know, you always see the defensive line leaning back on all fours, just trying to take a break, trying to catch their breath. Well, you know, as an offensive lineman, when you start seeing that, you're going to pound the guy, and you're going to try to get after him, and that's when you can really take advantage of it, is out-conditioning them and knowing what you're going to do, because the defense has to react. They got to read, and they got to see their cues and everything. I think that's when the offense can really attack, is when the defense is sitting back, you know, confused. It's kind of like the old Wing T offense. This is just a new adaptation of the old offense.
Do you worry, though, about... you mentioned the Wing T, and I go back to the Wing T, the Wishbone. They're all kind of in the same cloth.
Right.
The reason why the game evolved was because you couldn't play that offense when you were down 14 mm-hmm. points, or if you were down 21. Now it's almost the reverse, and you saw it in the national championship game against Florida State. These up-tempo offenses, you can't play with a lead.
Can't sustain it.
Because a three and out is, in theory, almost the same as a fumble.
Right.
So do you see the trend of up-tempo offenses becoming larger before it wanes? Or, you know, if you're buying stock, are you buying stock in the up-tempo offense?
I'm not. I think it's kind of a trend like the Wildcat was for a while. Everybody wanted to run the Wildcat. They wanted to have a Wildcat package. Well, that turned out to be, well, we were just having a Wildcat package, so the other team would have to practice a little bit more. Teams are going wholesale changes to this, and, running the 32 power right downhill and being able to just physically beat somebody, I don't think will ever go away. I think that's here to stay. The speed sweeps, I think teams can figure that out. You can scheme for that. You can get an extra guy down to the box. You can bring a safety down. I think given enough time, Coach Saban's going to figure it out. There's no question about it. So then they'll have to turn the page and start something new. I think it's just a little flash in the plan. It's what's hot. It's what's sexy right now.
And, you know, you have a unique perspective because you not only have gone on and played at the professional level, but you played at the spot. You played at the quarterback. I mean, you know, it's the head coach, then the quarterback. And a lot of times you hear fans, well, Nick Marshall's never going to be anything in the NFL, or, you know, Cam Newton's never going to amount to anything. And you mainly hear it about these up-tempo quarterbacks, the game not transferring to the NFL. Why is that?
I think with the NFL, it's so ingrained in everybody, but that these old seven-step drops and long pass plays down the field, the NFL's kind of changing and adapting too. But I think you have to be able to throw the ball first to be a successful quarterback. You got to be able to hit the big third down and 15, the deep out route. And the guys who can't do that kind of get shuffled to the side, and the guys who can win Super Bowls like Russell Wilson. I keep going back to him because I think he's got it all. He's a little bitty guy, but he can run and throw. He can do it all. You know, Robert Griffin has the arm strength, and he can get it done. He just doesn't seem to throw quite as accurately and as consistent as the other guys. Cam, amazing arm, freak athlete, but he gets it done in the passing game. And I think with that, it kind of gets the ball rolling, the passing game, and then they really burn people with their legs.
Russell Wilson, is that where the quarterback position is going, the model that you want?
I don't know. I think every team's different. The thing with that is when you get a guy like that, you kind of have to build your team around it. And you can either do that or the pro style, the Tom Brady, sit in the pocket, long time guy. It's kind of, I think you can do one or the other. It's tough to do both.
When you look at the quarterback position at the University of Alabama and bringing this thing full circle, you have a new quarterback coming in. And Jacob Coker, a guy that's transferring from Florida State, who Jeremy Pruitt was on Paul Feinbaum, who you can hear on our station each and every day from 1 to 5. You and I both know Jeremy well. You played for him at Hoover High School, then went on and you were part of he was a part of the program when we were both at Alabama. He said at times he couldn't tell a difference as far as defensive game planning, whether it was Jacob Coker or Jameis Winston. What is that like coming into a new offense? Because you have been able to, you had, what, three coordinators in 4 years?
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it for a quarterback to come in and just switch to a different offense?
It's not easy. It takes a lot of effort, a lot of time spent doing it. And even though you spend a lot of time, there's only so many reps in a practice. There's only so many reps before the season. And that's where you get really good and you hone your skills. When you can come up to the line and you're not thinking about the play, you're not thinking about what the receiver's running. You know what he's doing, and you're just reacting to the defense. And until you can get to that state where you're just reacting and you're not, okay, the running back is going to block, and then he's going to check down, when you know what that guy is going to be without even thinking about it, that's when you get really good. And I think that takes time, it takes practice, and it's going to be a little learning curve because there's going to be two guys taking those first-team reps. I think that's you know, a negative to not having a quarterback going into the season is they're going to be splitting reps. They got to see who the guy's going to be.
And there's going to be constants in the game of football, right? I mean, you know, an out route is always going to be at 10 yards. I mean, those are some of the constants that he can at least identify with, whether it's in anybody's playbook.
Yeah, and there's only so many routes you can run. There's only so many patterns and concepts, and you just have to quickly adapt. It's like learning a new language. An apple's an apple. We call it an apple, and in Spanish, it's a different word. So he's just learning a new language for pretty much the same thing. You know, there's subtle nuances with the protections and the schemes, but I'm sure they'll not dumb it down. They'll consolidate it to where he can move forward. You know, Sims has already had a spring and with Kiffin and everything, so it'll be not easy, but you know, it's what you got to do. You just got to pick it up and go with it.
29 past the hour. I want to stay on the Alabama offensive talk because I want to get from you exactly what Nick Saban expects out of his quarterback, what we can expect out of Jacob Coker or Blake Sims. Also want to get your thoughts on the running backs and what's going on there. And then I would just kind of want to get your overall thought on the athletic department as we've had some arrests that have come through the last couple of weeks. I want to kind of get your thoughts on that as well. So 30 past the hour, we'll take a break here on the home of Alabama sports, Tide 99.1 and Tide 99.1.com.